Let's all humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day, thanking and praising your name, Father, for the opportunity to be able to come together to serve you. We ask, Father, that your will be done in our lives and that you'd bless your people throughout this world. Truly, Father, we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. And we ask, Father, that you would prepare each and every heart that, of yours that you've prepared, that you've given your Holy Spirit to. Father, we love you, and we thank you. And we ask, Father, that you'd bless your people throughout this world. And we know, Father, that we can do all things through you, who has strengthened each and every one of us, who has given us your Spirit. So, Father, we ask that you would forgive us for our sins, and we ask, Father, that you would help us to be your witnesses in these last days to the people who are on this planet, that they would know that you, Yahweh, are the only living mighty one and the one that created all things. It's in Yahshua's holy name that we come before you, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, The Key is Forgiveness, and this is part three. The key is forgiveness. We remember from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34, where Yahshua said, Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. It says, And when they came, in verse 33, to the place which is called the skull, They impaled him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Yahshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. We know that a key is instrumental in unlocking something secure. We use keys to protect our valuables from being stolen. A key can also unlock things that have been hidden by encryption for protection from people that the encryptor wants to keep the knowledge from. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. This is entitled, The Key is Forgiveness, Part 3. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 13. Now, when Yahshua came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, Who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says to them, But who say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. And Yahshua answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my assembly. And the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Messiah. Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 45, we'll start there. And one of the lawyers answering said to him, Teacher, I in saying this you reproach us. And he said, Woe to you lawyers also, for you load men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. So you are witnesses and consult and consent to the works of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also said the wisdom of Yahweh, I will send to them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, which is the beginning of the world, may be required of this generation. He's talking about his generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you took away the key of knowledge. And remember what I said a key was. A key is instrumental in unlocking something secure. And he's saying that they took away the key of knowledge, and you entered not in yourself, and them that were entering in you hindered. And when he was come out from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press upon him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him to catch something out of his mouth. Now that key of knowledge, we know, they forbid the people to use the name of Yahweh. And we know that the key of knowledge is Yahweh's name. So instead of repenting, the lawyers, the scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders, the teachers of the law, just kept moving in that direction. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 7. And to the angel of the assembly in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no one shall shut, and that shuts and none opens. I know your works. And behold, I have set before you an open door, which none can shut, that you have a little power, and did keep my word, and did not deny my name. Behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are a worshiper of Yahweh, Jews, and they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you did keep the word of my patience. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, and we know that to be the tribulation, which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that none take your crown, that no one take your crown. He that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and he shall go out from there no more. And I will write upon him the name of my Elohim and the name of the city of my Elohim, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my Elohim and my own new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. The key of David opens, it says, an open door needs no key. David is another name for the Messiah. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. I'm going to look at verses 41 to 46. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Yahshua asked them a question, saying, what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They say to him, the son of David. He says to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him sovereign, saying, and this is from Psalm 110, Yahweh said to my sovereign, sit you on my right hand till I put your enemies underneath your feet. If David then calls him sovereign, how is he his son? and no one is able to answer him a word. Neither dared any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Isaiah chapter 22. The key is forgiveness, brethren. That's the title of the message. The key is forgiveness, part 3. If you remember the premise of part 1, you'll be able to follow the direction we're going. Isaiah 22, verse 15. In this manner says the sovereign Yahweh of hosts, Go to the treasurer, even Shebna, who is over the house, and say, what do you hear, and whom have you here, that you have hewn out here a sepulcher, hewing him out a sepulcher on high, carving a habitation for himself in the rock? Behold, Yahweh, like a strong man, will hurl you away violently. Yes, he will wrap you up closely. He will surely wind you round and round and toss you like a ball into a large country. There shall you die, and there shall be the chariots of your glory, shame of your master's house. And I will thrust you from your office, and from your station shall you be pulled down. Yahweh's going to pull those that are secure or think they're secure in their office, in their place. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your girdle, and I will commit your government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. And he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. Now we know the son of Hilkiah, the high priest, was Jeremiah. And you can look up Eliakim and see what it means. But Jeremiah was the son, and he was the prophet that came to Jerusalem and told them that they were going into Babylonian captivity because they had violated the covenant. In verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, every man's vessel, from the cups even to all the flagons. In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place give way, and it shall be hewn down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for Yahweh has spoken it. Now the people wanted to go and run. They wanted to go to Egypt, and Yahweh told them not to, to just be patient. Do what Jeremiah told them to do, that they were going to go into captivity. But several tried to run away, and they were destroyed. But Yahweh chose Jeremiah to be his prophet to his people, to get them to accept what he was going to do to them. But, of course, they would not accept that Jeremiah had that key. And Jeremiah was the one that was leading them at that time. And they tried to do everything from put him in prison. They wanted to kill him, but he would not allow them to kill Jeremiah. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, starting verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray and make requests to you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, You heard Al talk about all the spiritual blessings that Paul had said that we would receive. We all have the spiritual knowledge of spiritual wisdom and understanding today to walk worthily of Yahshua, to all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of Yahweh. Strengthening with all power according to the might of his glory. To all patience with long suffering and joy, giving thanks to the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Because we were all in a sinful way at one time, brethren. And Yahweh redeemed us, in whom, in verse 14, we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Yahweh forgave us of our sinful nature and our sinful ways. Who is the image of the invisible Yahweh, the firstborn of all creation. We're talking about Yahshua right now. For in him were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. In all things have been created through him and to him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So without Yahshua, we have no being. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And Yahshua truly does have that preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his torture stake, through his sacrifice, through his blood. Through him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heavens, and you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and your evil works, yet he has now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present your holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the good tidings which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, of which Paul was made minister. Brethren, the key is forgiveness. Every lock has a key. And the key to entering into the kingdom is forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. Colossians 3:1, it says, if then you were raised together with the Messiah, seek the things that are above, where the Messiah is, seated on the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. And too many of us are striving for the things that are upon the earth. And we need to be concentrating on the things that are above. For you died, and your life is hid with the Messiah in Yahweh. When the Messiah, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory. But if your life is here on the earth, and you are totally into the things of this earth, you're not going to be manifested when Yahshua is manifested. Verse 5, it says, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked. And we were all at one time sinners, brethren. The difference now is that we're repentant sinners. Because all men are sinners. All have fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. All of us. There is none righteous, no, not one, that does good. Except we have accepted the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah. In which, verse 7, you also once walked when you lived in these things, but now do you also put them away? Anger. And sometimes that's hard to do, brother. Sometimes it's hard to get rid of your anger. Malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. We have to have total control, self-control, brethren, of our faculties, our being. Verse 9, do not speak falsely to each other, having put off the old man with his doings. We have to be a changed people. And for us to be a changed people, we have to use the key that he has given us. And having put on the new man that is being renewed to the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there cannot be Greek or Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freedman, but the Messiah is all in all. Put on, therefore, as Yahweh's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, brethren, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. See, it keeps coming up. The key is forgiveness, brethren. Forgiveness has to be in your life if you're going to be able to rise and meet Yahshua in the air. It says, if any man have a complaint against any, even as the Master forgave you, so also do you. So we have to be like Yahshua. Because he forgave us, we have to forgive others. And above all these things, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of the Messiah rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body. And be thankful, let the word of the Messiah dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, anthems, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to Yahweh, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the sovereign Yahshua, giving thanks to Yahweh, the Father, through him. It's very important that we understand what we have to do. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. Remember, the key is forgiveness. And the man, talking about Adam, knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man with the help of Yahweh. And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of the flock and of the fat of it. And Yahweh had respect to Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his face fell. See? He had anger. We talked about that just a few minutes ago in Colossians. And his face fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin crouches at the door. And to you shall be his desire, but you shall rule over him. And Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Committed a sin. He killed his brother. We also saw in the passage I read concerning all the blood that was shed from the righteous Abel all the way to Zechariah, that would fall on that generation. The key is forgiveness, brethren. In verse 9, and Yahweh said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? So he lied, sinned again against Yahweh, because he lied to Yahweh. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And now curse to you from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shall you be in the earth. And Cain said to Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from your face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth, and it will come to pass that whoever finds me will kill me. And Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh appointed a sign for Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and lived in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Okay? I want to look at a different I'm going to take a different approach. If you look at this translation where it talks about my punishment is greater than I can bear, it says, is what the text says, which is why Cain is seen as such a remorseless monster. When you go back to the original text, like in the Geniza fragments, the same passage can just as easily be translated, my sin is too great to forgive. See the difference? In this version, Cain feels so awful, so sorry for what he has done to poor Abel. He tells Yahweh that he should never be forgiven. And that's a pretty different view of Cain when you look at it that way. But 99% of the translators translated, my punishment is greater than I can bear, because he was a tiller of the ground, and Yahweh told him he was going to become a wanderer, okay? When you look at things from a different perspective, if Cain is saying, my sin is too great to forgive. When you study this and you go into the text and you look at all of the commentators and what they put on it, and they talk about the mark of Cain, because Yahweh put a mark on him. And it goes from, you know, the white supremacist thinking, well, he made him black, so, you know, that was a negative. That's why Cain, you know, and the Canaanites actually were black people. But look at it this way, because it talks about the mark in the scriptures. You've got two different marks. You've got the mark of the beast, and you have the mark of Yahweh. And if Yahweh placed a mark on Cain, and that mark, okay, was his name, would not that protect Cain from being killed? Would not that witness to the people that Cain came in contact with about Yahweh and his forgiveness? Cain was the first human born. You have to understand that. Adam and Eve were created. Okay? Cain was the first human born. He was the first murderer and the first to be forgiven of murder.
Holy commit verses again.
Think of Yahweh, okay, and how how he forgave our sin in sending Yahshua to the world, to us, okay? The word in the bear is 5875. It's Ain. And the whole word is Ain HaKare. And it means the fountain of one calling. It's from 5869 Ayin, a prime word in I, literally or figuratively, by analogy, a fountain as the eye of the landscape. Affliction, outward appearance, is also from number 7121, Kare, Q-A-R-A, a prime root from 7122, to encounter, whether accidentally or in a hostile manner, to befall, by change caused to come up, on, fall out, or happen to meet. I'll go, there's some more to the definition, to call out, to address by name. And see, when you look at that, then this other translation becomes more plausible, because if Cain is wearing the mark of Yahweh and he has Yahweh's name upon him, then this makes sense. It means to be bidden, set forth, self, upon, to cry unto, to be famous, quest, invite, to mention, to give name, to preach, to proclaim, to pronounce, to publish. And what is Yahweh's name? It was published throughout the world. Yahweh's name is on the temple. Yahweh's name is on his people. Everywhere we go, we are supposed to proclaim the name of Yahweh. And remember, okay, the key is forgiveness. If we understand that Yahweh truly loves his people, he has forgiven us of our sin by sending his only son to die for our sins. Just like we talked about the blood of Abel, the first killed, all the way to Zechariah, who was killed in the sanctuary. And all that blood was placed on the leaders of Judah during that generation, because they claimed to be the sons of the prophets, the sons of the ones that killed the prophets. So even from Cain all the way up through, they took responsibility for that sin. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good tidings make the bones fat. The ear that listens to reproof of life shall remain among the wise. He that refuses correction despises his own soul. And too many of the Pharisees despise their own soul because they refuse the correction that Yahshua put forth to them. But he that listens to reproof gets understanding. The fear of Yahweh is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor goes humility. And we're going to continue in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from Yahweh. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirit. Commit your works to Yahweh, and your purposes shall be established. Yahweh has made everything for its own end, even, yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to Yahweh. though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of Yahweh, men depart from evil. When a man ways please Yahweh, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. See, most people can't fathom that Cain was forgiven because he killed his brother. But there have been many murderers. We've dealt with this in, like I said, in the Key to Forgiveness in the first section where we talked about Paul, who murdered the true worshipers and was rounding them up, throwing them into prison. And Joshua blinded him because he was already blind. He opened his eyes after he blinded him on the road to Damascus to show him that he was persecuting him. He was persecuting Joshua. So he got turned around 180 degrees. His eyes became open. He was able to see for the first time. Even though he was a rabbi, he knew the law. He knew what was on the scrolls because he was raised that way. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, as he says in the epistles. And truly, Paul was a righteous man. But he had to be turned around because so many have a zeal for Yahweh, but not according to knowledge, because they don't know his name. They've been taught and raised in a certain way, and until they have been Yahweh's name is revealed to them, they don't understand and they truly don't know what they're doing. You think about it. How many people are going to be killing Yahweh's people or persecuting them, thinking that they're doing Yahweh's service? They may call it they're doing the work of God or whatever, but you think about how many people have killed in the name of the Almighty, even if it's a Muslim, even if it's a Hindu. See, there have been religious wars going on for years, but the key is forgiveness. This is what Yahweh has shown us today. The key is forgiveness. If you cannot forgive your brother his sin, Yahweh's not going to forgive you. So why is it that Yahweh could not forgive Cain? Yes, he could. Verse 7, when a man ways please Yahweh, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. A man's heart devises his way, but Yahweh directs the steps. Yahweh is going to direct your steps. If you are on the right path, if you are walking in the right direction, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So, if we acknowledge Yahweh in everything we do, he's going to direct our paths. He's going to lead us. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and we'll start in verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why speak you to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And to them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart has grown fat, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, sovereign of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and understanding and did reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been delivered to me of my Father, and no one knows who the Son is, save the Father, and who the Father is, save the Son, and he to whomever the Son wills to reveal him. And turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings desired to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not. When he asked the disciples, Who do you say that I am? Peter told him that he was the Messiah. And he said, Peter, blessed are you, because Yahweh has revealed it to you. Psalm 85. We'll start in verse 1. Psalm 85. Remember, the key is forgiveness, brethren. And for every lock, there is a key. Yahweh, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. And I'm telling you, the sin of Israel was great, because they went into Babylonian captivity because they kept not the sabbatical years. They went and they worshiped the idols of the nations. And he told them when they went into the promised land that the land would vomit them out if they did not keep the covenant. Verse 3, you have taken away all your wrath. You have turned yourself from the fierceness of your anger. Turn us, O Elohim, of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. And when we want Yahweh's blessing, we want to receive his blessing, we have to do his will. We have to keep his commandments. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you draw out your anger to all generations? Will you not quicken us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Yahweh, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what El Yahweh will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Don't go back to the pagan ways. Don't go back to doing whatever you feel is right. You got to keep the covenant. Surely his salvation, in verse 9, is near to them that fear him. That glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs out of the earth, and righteousness has looked down from heaven. Yes, Yahweh will give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. This is one of the Psalms of the sons of Korah. Now, it's very interesting because David wrote a lot of the Psalms. And there's a lot of similarities between Cain and King David. Okay? Cain killed Abel, his brother, a keeper of the flock, or a keeper of the sheep. David was a shepherd who killed Uriah, the Hittite, a righteous man, who was righteous like Abel, the brother of Cain. David wrote Psalm 51 after his sin. We're going to go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. David was pleading for his Holy Spirit. He didn't want Yahweh to take his spirit away from him, because you know that the Holy Spirit does not reside in sinful man. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Elohim, the Elohim of my salvation. And Yahweh did cleanse David. Yahweh did forgive David and cleanse him from the blood guiltiness of his sin. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Yahweh, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you delight not in sacrifice, else I would give it. You have no pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Elohim, will you not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in the sacrifices of righteousness, and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then will they offer bullocks upon your altars. I believe the mark of Cain was Yahweh's name, so that all who came upon him would see that Yahweh had forgiven him, and he was a witness in the earth of Yahweh's righteousness and forgiveness. When I first learned Yahweh's name, I was a sophomore in high school. In our world history class, we were taught that Yahweh was the mighty one, or Elohim of Israel, and he was a bloodthirsty mighty one who commanded that the killing of all the inhabitants of Canaan to give their land, to give this land to his people Israel, which he did. But see, the history book didn't talk about the vile customs of the Canaanites, about them killing or sacrificing their children to their idols, or the sex worship, or the bestiality. It didn't talk about any of the negatives. It only talked about how Yahweh brought these children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land and then slaughtered the inhabitants of that land to give it to Israel. See, brethren, the true key is forgiveness, but you must have and understand the name of Yahweh. It is missing in the worship of all other religions. They know not Yahweh. His goodness, his faithfulness, his kindness, or his forgiveness. We must show the world the forgiveness of Yahweh, which was given by the sacrifice of his son, Yahshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. Yahweh showed his great love for his people by giving the world his only son, and all who will accept him will receive forgiveness. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek the key, which is forgiveness. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Al if he would close with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow for prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the messages. Thank you for this Sabbath day. Thank you for the work that you've started in us. You've called us out of this pagan system. You've given us your light, given us your Torah, given us the mind of Yeshua, given us your Son to pay the sacrifice for our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You've given us your Spirit to empower us to be able to do the things that you've commanded and to bring to our remembrance all that you've said. We know, Father, that if we don't forgive, as Greg said in this sermon, that if we don't forgive, then how can we expect to be forgiven? We pray, Yahweh, for a greater portion of your Spirit so that we can be people of your word, living epistles to this world, this cold, dark, hopeless world that these people, other people are living in. They don't have any hope. They don't have any vision of better days yet to come like we do. So we pray that you would give us the things we need to be living epistles to these people. You need to show them your love, your forgiveness, your loving kindnesses and your mercies. We know, Father, that the time is short. We know that this world is in chaos, that you're preparing a system that's going to wear out the saints. And it is already beginning to wear us out. We're so fed up with this system. We're so tired of all the foolishness that we see. We're becoming weary, Father. So we pray for a greater portion of your Spirit to empower us to keep on keeping on, to keep pressing forward. We pray for those that are on the prayer list, Father Yahweh, that you would heal them, that you would open their hearts and minds, illuminate their minds. Let them see the wonder and the beauty that is in your word, the righteous way of living that brings peace of mind. We can't put a value on peace of mind and the hope. Hope is priceless. Just having hope helps us to maintain and to carry on. Father, we love you and we love Yeshua. We love one another, and it's good to be with people of like precious faith on this day, your Sabbath. Thank you for the messages. Thank you for the songs of praise. Thank you for the praise reports. And I thank you for everybody that joins with us each and every Sabbath. It is a blessing to be with these people. And we give you thanks, praise, glory, honor, and blessing, Yahweh, for hearing our prayers and for blessing us the way you do, because we know that it's not because of anything we do, but it's because of your loving kindnesses and mercies that make it possible. And it's in Yeshua's name that we pray and ask these many blessings and petitions as we say hallelujah and amen.